This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Hallie Zander, here with your top stories this Tuesday morning. The Aspen-Pickens County Housing Authority issued 22 notices of violation to homeowners. These came after they completed the biennial work required check in 2025. APSHA asks homeowners to submit proof of their work hours every 2 years. In 2025, the Housing Authority started requiring more documentation to support the affidavits. It's meant to confirm owners are still complying with the deed-restricted housing work requirements. But Jackie Marinaro, APSHA's compliance officer, says that the Housing Authority wants to work with people who aren't in compliance.
We're a qualification-based program, and we're accountable to the taxpayers. So any measures that we can take to keep compliance front of mind for folks is important. But we also want to send the message that if you've lost your job or you can't work or something like that, there's ways that we will work with you.
Of the 22 homeowners who received notices, 19 came back into compliance. 2 decided to sell their homes, and 1 did not come back into compliance and was forced to sell. APSHA will conduct the next affidavit in 2027. Pickens County will up its fire restrictions to stage 2 on Friday. That's in anticipation of more extended hot, dry, windy weather. The Aspen Times reports that includes additional restrictions that prohibit fires, fireworks, smoking, off-road driving, spark-producing devices, and welding and torch use. Using gas fireplaces will still be allowed. Pickens County emergency officials told commissioners and Aspen City Council that Eagle and Garfield counties will likely consider similar restrictions in the coming days. The Roaring Fork Transportation Authority has proposed a funding plan to keep the Hogback bus route running from Newcastle to Silt and Rifle. The Post-Independent reports that RAFTA's CEO presented to Rifle City Council on a funding plan last week, which would keep the bus going through 2029 through significantly increased contributions from Rifle, Silt, and Garfield County to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and about $500,000 a year from RAFTA. Funding for the Hogback has been uncertain beyond November, when RAFTA has said it would be unable to keep the line running without additional support. Top Chef 23 winner Rhoda Magbatang shared Filipino and Hawaiian cuisine at the Food & Wine Classic in Aspen over the weekend. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports on her culinary inspirations.
Magbatang was the first Filipina to win the competition, as well as the first person to win the first two challenges back-to-back. She also returned victorious after being eliminated from Last Chance Kitchen. As part of her win, Magbatang showcased her skills at 3 food and wine events over the weekend. A dinner at the Hotel Jerome on Saturday night brought seafood to the Rocky Mountains.
I'm doing some common street foods that you would find in the Philippines. We have a lot of street foods there, and some of them are, you know, like not ever considered elevated food, but we're going to have so much fun trying to do that.
And during a Sunday morning seminar, Magbatang brought Hawaiian traditions to the St. Regis.
I have been very blessed to live in the great state of Hawaii, and, you know, I would like to think that I've been kind of adopted in their culture, and I've been honored with, like, the traditions that they, you know, they have.
Magbatang isn't sure what her next moves are going to be, but she does know she's excited to get back into her restaurant in Hawaii. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
Rifle has rehired its former police chief to helm the department once again. The Post-Independent reports Thomas Klein Jr. previously held the top role in Rifle's police force from 2017 to 2021. He then served as Rifle's city manager before moving to Florida in 2024. Klein Jr. is originally from Raleigh, North Carolina. He has more than 30 years of experience in law enforcement and administration. He'll return to the chief of police job in July. In regional news, solar power generated more electricity than coal in the U.S. for the first month on record this spring. Experts say the milestone highlights how quickly the nation's electricity mix is changing. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Bradle reports.
Solar accounted for nearly 13% of U.S. electricity generation. Coal fell to just over 12%. That's according to new data from energy think tank Ember. Nicholas Foljam is with the group.
Solar power historically has usually been described as a relatively niche power source that works in some applications some of the time. And what this shows is It's now directly on the same level or contrasted with coal power.
Foljam says that shift is evident in the Mountain West, including Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, and Utah. He says solar growth is being driven by falling costs and rising energy demand, including from data centers. But this comes as federal policy moves in a different direction on energy. The Trump administration recently announced a plan to spend nearly $700 million to support the coal industry. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
The nation's 575 federally recognized tribes are now eligible for conservation grants from the National Park Service. And as Gabriel Pietrazio reports for the Mountain West News Bureau, a new digital tool is designed to help them navigate the bureaucracy.
The Land and Water Conservation Fund has been around since 1964.
It receives about $900 million each year from offshore oil and gas royalties, not taxpayer dollars, to support conservation and outdoor recreation nationwide. And yet I had never heard of the program.
Starlin Rose Miller is from the Little Shell Chippewa Tribe of Montana. She's with the nonprofit Wilderness Society, which launched the new online hub.
Tribal governments are so busy. We thought if we could put a hub up designed in partnership with indigenous-led orgs, agencies, nonprofits, that it could be helpful.
The fund has aided more than 47,000 projects in nearly every county nationwide. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
In statewide news, Colorado's primary election day is a week from today on June 30th. State officials say it's getting down to the wire to return a ballot by mail, so it's time to look into where your nearest ballot drop box is located. There are ballot drop boxes at most county administration buildings and local town halls. Ballots must be received by 7 p.m. on primary election day a week from today. Find more information at govotecolorado.gov or go to aspenpublicradio.org and look for our election guide. As of yesterday, the Secretary of State's office reported over 322,000 ballots had already been returned. June is Pride Month, and events celebrating the LGBTQ plus community have been taking place across the country. That includes here in Colorado. The Pikes Peak Pride Festival took place in Colorado Springs last week. Alexandra Lemus with One Colorado spoke to attendees about two measures that will appear on the ballot in November.
One would ban trans students from participating in sports along their peers. And the other would interfere with medical decisions made by families, young people, and healthcare providers. These measures are rooted in fear and misinformation, and they are designed to divide our community. But I want everyone here to remember something. Colorado has defeated anti-LGBTQ attacks before, and we are going to do it again.
One Colorado and other advocacy groups are already organizing to defeat both measures in November. The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team, Associate Editor Sage Smiley, reporters Reagan Mertz, Michael Finelli, Hannah Weaver, and me, your host, Hallie Zander. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.